What a lovely picture the first reading paints. Life is really, really quite amazing in the early Christian community. The community of believers was of one heart and one mind. No one claims any of the possessions as their own. They hold everything in common. And with great power, the apostles bear witness to Jesus. No one is needy. Everybody gets what they need. There's only one problem with this great picture that we get in the Acts of the Apostles. It didn't last. As much as they're overwhelmed at the beginning with the resurrection of Jesus, and the apostles are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're preaching in this great and magnificent way, this doesn't continue. We know the early church was filled with many disputes, theological and otherwise. We know that there were some that held back a little bit for themselves. They didn't give everything to the apostles. Their trust was wanting. We know that things are not always going to go well for Peter, for John, and for the other apostles. In fact, all of them except John, we believe, were martyred for their faith. This would be wonderful. This would have continued had they been able to respond to the grace of God and to do His will. God wants us to be saved. God gives us a way of life that if we were to follow it, we would almost believe life to be miraculous. But whether it is the Israelites wandering in the desert, professing with great strength their belief in God one minute, and then complaining against Moses and Aaron the next, whether it is King David who does miraculous deeds because God is with him one moment, only to send Uriah out into the field so he can commit adultery. Even the apostles have their own experience of really being certain at one moment and having it all fall apart just a short time later. Peter says he will die with Jesus, and all the other disciples say the same thing. But we know that Peter denies Jesus. We know that the other disciples ran away. It was only the women and the apostle John who was at the foot of the cross. Sin divides, but God wants to unite. Sin even divides us against ourselves. We think about how it is that we are when we sin. We're disappointed. Maybe we're ashamed. We wish things were better. Often we can recognize that the sin we commit divides us from the very people that we love and care about. We treat those people we love oftentimes in the worst way. And if God were only just, we wouldn't be here at all. But God is not just. God is also loving. God is merciful. God forgives. And we see that throughout the scriptures as well. For the many times they complain against Moses and Aaron, more does God pour out forgiveness upon them. Despite David's great sins, God still blesses his kingdom and blesses him in leadership. And despite the fact that they ran away, Jesus still sends the Holy Spirit into their life. He causes Peter to remember that he loves Jesus by asking him the question 3 times. He doesn't keep a scorecard with Thomas today when Thomas can't believe. Understandable. I might be a bit skeptical. If somebody said, you know that guy we all know died? He's not dead. I could get it. I could see where that might be a little too much for me to believe without proof. That seems to be the challenge of faith and belief these days. What is it that we then need to do? For we have seen the Lord. We see him every single time we come to Mass in the Eucharist. We have seen the Lord. I suspect that each one of us has at one time or another had some experience where we saw and felt and experienced the goodness of God in our lives. I'd make a couple of suggestions today, concrete suggestions of something that I think could really help get into kind of the mindset of what Thomas experienced once he believed. The first is the experience of the sacrament of confession. I know that, you know, sometimes we don't want to go to confession. It can be hard sometimes in our life to actually speak our sins to another human being. By the way, I can tell you as a priest who hears confessions, I sin. I don't sit there on some high and mighty stool and say, or throne, and say, ha ha, what's the matter with you? I'm deeply humbled in those moments that people are placing their faith in what Jesus set up so that we can know that we are forgiven. So take the opportunity to go and to celebrate confession. If it's been a long time and you don't remember how to go, just say that at the start. If the priest won't help you, leave the confessional and find another priest. Priests want you to experience forgiveness. They want you to experience the mercy of God. Secondly, try to make silent prayer a part of your life. You know, one of the things that I don't think we stress enough as Catholics is the power of a personal relationship with Jesus. That's what makes the difference. Spending silent time in prayer with Jesus so that we can believe. You know, if you just Google mindfulness these days, you'll see it's all over the internet. Everybody's into mindfulness these days. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people are. I refer to mindfulness as kind of like stretching before exercise. It's a good endeavor. It does have positive physiological benefits. But it's like ordering cake for dessert, but never eating it. It's just getting us ready for an encounter with Jesus. And so to that end, try to give Jesus 5 minutes a day. At first, 5 minutes might feel like 5 hours. But I think that if you're faithful with this, you'll discover that 5 minutes is not enough. And if you're really faithful to this, you, like Thomas, will be able to say to Jesus, my Lord and my God.